Now, everyone's attention, I have always been inspired with this statement in the book of the last book in the Bible. It's in the book of Revelation. And by the way, it's the Lord Jesus himself speaking to John the Revelator in the book of Revelation, beginning at the 21st chapter in the 6th verse. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega. I'm the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. Now, he's winding it up. This is the 21st chapter of Revelation, and he introduced himself, so we'll not switch him up to somebody else. He said, I'm Alpha. What's Alpha? Alpha's A in the Greek alphabet. He's saying, I am A and I'm Z. There's nothing before A and there's nothing after Z. That's the Z is the end, and A is the beginning, and there's nothing before A. He said, I am Alpha and I am Omega. I am the beginning, I am the end. Now this is what he has in mind. He said, since I am the one from the very first, nobody is before me. I'm there at the very first and I'm at the end. Then when he says that, he introduces who he is. He said, I will give unto him that is athirst the water of life freely. Now, does he give everybody that when they come to heaven? Oh, no. That's what we're going to preach on tonight. When does he give that water? He doesn't give it to you when you get up to heaven. We'll have the river of life up there. That's true. But, brother, you've got to come in contact with that water, that living water, before you're capable of making heaven your home. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life. The fountain of the water of life. Now, some folks say, oh, I've been to the fountain. I got the Holy Ghost and that's the fountain. Well, I'm going to show you that that's not what he's talking about. We need the Holy Spirit. Let's turn now. That's the 21st chapter. Now, here comes the 22nd chapter. He's still talking to John. And there's not but about a minute between one statement and the next statement. When he's talking to him, he made the statement I just read in the 21st chapter, and he went right ahead and made these statements right one after the other, and he comes and repeats again and makes the statement the second time, and it hadn't been a minute, maybe 50 seconds, he had made the statement that I just read to you. So undoubtedly there is something bearing down on him that he wants to put over to all of his children, because he realizes when I get through now, and just two verses underneath that, he winds up. He said, that's it, close it, amen. Never again will there be anybody put anything on this. This is Revelation. It's the last book in the Bible. It's the last chapter. I came down from heaven on the Isle of Patmos to give it to John. I'm closing up now. These are the last words that I'll ever speak to my children. And this is coming fresh from my mouth. And he winds up 10 seconds after he made that statement in the 21st chapter. He just goes right on saying those words, and as fast as you could repeat them, which would be about 10, 12 seconds, something like that, or maybe at the most 15 seconds, he made these statements from the 21st chapter on through the 22nd, and you could easily read it, and that's about as long as it would take. So he goes on, and here's what he said. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. Now this is Jesus talking. Let me give you that confirmation again. The 16th verse. The 17th is where I just start reading. But let's back up to the 16th verse. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. What do you mean, I, Jesus, have sent my angel? The angel means my spirit, my presence. I have come my personal self to give you what I'm giving you now. When he said I, he didn't mean that somebody else taking his place. He said, I, Jesus. I, Jesus, sent my name to testify in these things in the churches. I am, he said, here it is. I am the what? The root. And I am the offspring of David. And I am that bright and that morning star. Now that's who's talking, he said. It's the morning star that's talking to you. It's the root and the offspring of David. And now he comes to the next verse. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst, let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Now see, if you're thirsty, let him come. Then he thought that might leave out somebody. He said, and whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Now, this is not something that he is telling them to do after they get to heaven. He is giving them instructions right now. I'm giving this to John. I'm telling all the churches that he's writing it to. I'm telling every dispensation, every generation that'll come from here to the end. I am saying to all humanity, the Spirit and the bride say, come, and he that heareth say, come, and he that is athirst, let him come, and whosoever will, let him come. What's he saying? Come, 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 come. And he winds up telling you what he wants you to come for. And let him come and take the water of life freely. This is not ordinary water. It's water of life. It's water that gives you life. All right, let's turn from that and see if there happens to be anything else in the Bible that would kind of go along with that. Here we are in the 12th chapter of the book of 1 Corinthians. It's therefore I give unto you to understand that no one speaking the Spirit of Christ called Jesus accursed. Now, he goes on here. And he comes on down to the 12th verse. Notice this. By one body, we're one, and all the members are one body, and we being many are one body in Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into the body. It's not a preacher that baptizes you into the body. It's by the Holy Ghost. By one Spirit are we all baptized. That's the new birth that he's talking about. Now listen. Now, it says we're baptized into the body, whether we be Jew or Gentile, whether we be bond or free, for we have been all made to drink under one Spirit. We have been all made to drink under one Spirit. Now, this is exactly what Paul is referring to. Under the anointing of the Holy Ghost, he tells us that not only does the Spirit put us into the body, but we have all been made to drink of the spiritual. We've been all made to drink unto one Spirit. Now, that means that this drink that we're talking about is the spiritual water, and it is this water that gives us life. And without it, we'll never have that eternal life that he's referring to. Then we find where he says here that rock, here we are in the fourth verse, and it says they did all eat of the same spiritual meat. Let me read the first verse there. Whosoever, wherefore, brethren, I would not that you'd be ignorant how that our fathers were under the cloud, and they all passed through the sea, and they were baptized under Moses in the cloud and in the sea. Now notice this, and they all did eat the same spiritual, they did all eat the same spiritual meat, and they did all drink the same spiritual drink. They not only eat the spiritual meat, God sent it down from heaven, but it said they all did drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Well, little by little, we are coming to something here. Now, we find that it said that that rock back there that followed them was not just a rock. That rock was Christ. It didn't even say here that that rock was a type of Christ. There was some mystic, supernatural power in that rock that followed them. And it says they drank from that rock. Now, I turned a while ago, and I have it turned down here, but I'll tell it to you because I read freshly both accounts. And in Exodus, it tells us that the children of Israel begin to chide and begin to fuss because they were thirsty and they didn't have any water. And God permitted them to get thirsty, for had they had streams and rivers of water, there would have been no occasion of magnifying and glorifying and calling to their attention the great need of spiritual water, miracle water. So God in His mercy permitted them to get thirsty. He didn't intend for them to die of thirst, because He had in His mind already what He's going to do. Because the minute they came in and said, Moses said, the people out there are thirsty, and they're really raising the ruckus, said they want water. God said, I know it. It's all in my plans. Now here's what I want you to do. Now He said, go out and call them all together and tell them that we want them to step over before this rock. And I want them, as they all gather out, you are to say to them, now you have chided for water, and God shall give you water. Take Aaron with you, and step over to the rock, and I want you to take your rod that you used in parting the river, or parting the sea, and I want you to take and smite that rock. And when you smite the rock, it shall give forth running water, and it will feed over the population of the city of Dallas, for there's over a million there, well over a million. Some claim close to 2 million. But we find that the water came out and flowed like a river. Not long ago, Sister Hibbert and I was going through that part, and the guide stopped and said, we're going to stop for a little while and look at the Rock of Moses. They called it a Rock of Moses. And there was a stream coming out. There was a river now. It had eaten itself in the earth. There was trees on each side. But the water was still coming out of a rock. And he said, ever since Moses carried the children of Israel out in the wilderness, and when he struck the rock and the waters came out, this has been the rock, and we have known about it ever since. And from that day to this, it's always called the Rock of Moses. But we find that the Bible states that that rock was Christ. Now then, I want us to enter into the thinking of God and see what God said to Moses. He said, Moses, I want you to take Aaron and call the children of Israel out. They want water. And I want you to step out there, and I want you to smite the rock and let him give forth his water. And they did. And so they all drank. Now we find, as they went further on, it says that they chided again. There was no water. They had now gone a great distance. And Moses came to God the second time. That was in Numbers now, the 20th chapter. And he says to God, remind you now, I'm going to go back and give you what Jesus said in Revelation about the drinking. Because I've already read here that we all drink of that spiritual rock that followed them. And that rock was Christ. So how many agree and know that that rock that followed them, the rock that gave them water, that rock was Christ? It didn't say it's like Christ, it's a type of Christ. It said that rock was Christ. So they all did drink, eat of the spiritual meat, and they drank of that spiritual water. And that water that they drank was spiritual water, because it was not from a natural source. It says that rock that responded to the invitation of thirst, that rock that gave them water, the word said it was Christ. Now, you'll say, but it was a rock. Yeah, I know it. Until God said what it is. He said it's Christ. And we, every one of us, must say it was Christ because God said it. Now, we find that they are thirsty again. Now, we're still dealing with the thirst. We're dealing with something. I want you to get a drink of water tonight, if you don't mind, before you go home. And you can. You say, oh, I've had a drink. Oh, yes, but brother, I'm going to tell you, I've had a drink too. But I'm going to get another maybe before I go to bed. I've had one since noontime. And there's a natural water. Brother, there is a spiritual drink, and a lot of people are drying up on the stalk because they've quit drinking from Christ. Now, they're thirsty again. They want water. And they come to Moses. Moses, here are the people griping, and they're up in arms. So here they come running to God. Moses came, said, oh God, the people are thirsty. They're almost tempted to stone me. We're out of water, and they're real thirsty. They say that we'll die. They'll die in the wilderness. God said, I know it. Heard all about it. Know all about it. Now he said, this is a beautiful type. Since God knew he's going to inspire Paul, never tell a lie. That word is true, just as true as God himself. So, God knew exactly, because you find Christ in all that Old Testament. Am I right? You find him in the red cord across the window that Rahab put there. It was a sure covenant. All right. And so, we find here that Moses came in and he said, God, they need water. And he said, all right, that's what I know. They need water now. He said, I want you to take Aaron with you, and I want you to take the rod that you used in parting the water. Take the rod in thy hand and call all Israel to come out before you. Speak unto all the children of Israel and say unto them, shall we fetch water out of this rock? Again, they're confronted with the voice of their leader. They're confronted with thirst. They are looking at the same rod that got the job done before. And he's telling them with authority from God, shall we get water out of this rock? Now, if you hadn't had anything to drink for a while, and you were thirsty, you didn't care where it come from, you'd get a good cold drink of water, you'd want it better than the soda pop, Dr. Pepper, something like that. Water is something that won't take the place of anything else. Nothing can take the place of water. So then, they're everyone looking at him. They're all thirsty, and they're thinking, well, this might be. It's the same man. It's the same stick. He's coming with a message from God, and there's a rock, and here we come again. But God said, you step out there and before the children and said, shall we fetch water out of this rock? Then God said to Moses, turn and speak to the rock and say to the rock, rock, give us water. And he, not it, but he shall give his water. Moses went out there, and in somehow or another, he got it mixed up. He figured the way to do it that we know that really works is to hit it. Christ was, according to the word, he's to be smitten one time. But that paid for everybody to have a free drink from then on. Once only. But now God says, step out and speak to the rock. Oh, what a sight that would have been. When he turns and lays the rock by him, lets the rod limp by his side, as he turns to the rock and says to the rock, as though he is speaking to an intelligent being, as though the rock understood the language of Moses, and say to the rock, don't say to God, oh God, please fix a miracle and let the water come out of the rock. Oh no, speak to the rock and say to the rock, rock, give us water, and the water will come forth, and he shall give forth his water. He is a personal pronoun. His is a personal pronoun. God said, speak to it. You wouldn't go out if we'd go out ordinary and say to a rock, say, rock, you've been in my way for 6 months, and I've been having to go around you. Now I want you to get out of my way. Somebody come up and say, what you doing? I'm talking to that rock, say, you're nuts. Why? Because rocks don't hear, and rocks can't talk, rocks can't understand. But in this case, that rock wasn't a rock, it is Christ. That's the end of it, is it? Oh, no, it's not the end of it. When that happened, God said, Moses, come in here and come in quick. Bring Aaron with you. Got him in there, and God said to him, said, how come you to do it? Do what? Water's coming out, everybody drinking. What did he do? He didn't speak to it at all. He took the rod and he whammed. And he whammed it the second time. God didn't want to let his servant down, so God just let water come on out. He said, you ruined it. That fouled it up. Type is broken. Oh, how beautiful it would have been had he done what God said. How many believe with all your heart that had he stood there, not used the rod, let it by him side, said to the rock, rock, give us water. And God said, and he shall give forth his water. With a voice, with asking, you'll get it. So he said to Moses, Moses, so the people will know there was a great mistake made here and the real picture never came out, I've got to do this. Though I love you and you've been very patient and kind, and when I would have even destroyed the children, you stood right there and went to bats for them, and I know it's your heart's desire to lead them into Canaan's land, but you'll never go in. I can't permit you to let them go into Canaan, lead them into Canaan. I'm going to have to let you die out in the wilderness and let Joshua take them in, because you did not obey me. You did not speak to that rock so he could give his water. You hit the rock, and you're not to hit it the second time. You're to speak to it. You failed, Moses. Now, I'm not going to chide you anymore, but no use in arguing with me. You're not going to lead the children of Israel in. And God saw to it. A few days later, he said, Moses, get your things ready now and tell the folk goodbye and slip out the way I tell you. Come up here on the mountain. I want you to die. I'm going to take your life. And he went up there and laid down. God took his life. And then he sent an angel down and said, go down and get the body of Moses. Bring it up here. But he never did take him into Canaan. You know why? Because he didn't speak to the rock. Maybe that's telling us something out loud. Brother, you know, let me go down now. Thousands of years after that. About 1,200 years after that. And there is a man in the fourth chapter of John. He walks up to a well. I want you to get all these scriptures together now. We have all been made drink unto one spiritual drink. Now, so Jesus walks up to this well. After telling his disciples to go on down into Sychar,
which is about a mile and a half down the trail. We've been right there at the well where Jesus stood. Went down to the city of Sychar, had some rice and lamb, just like they cooked it back there in those days, and saw the same little town that all this happened in. But right up on the hill, just about a mile, maybe a mile and a quarter, there is the old well, still there, got water in. And Jesus walks up to the well, and he doesn't have anything to draw with. They bring their vessel to draw with. And here come a woman from Samaria, and she had pots on her head. She had wherewith to draw with. And she didn't speak to him because she knew he was a Jew, looked like one, had the appearance of one. And so she just went about her business. And Jesus said to her, said, "Woman, would you mind giving me a drink of water while you're going?" She said, "How come you, being a Jew, ask me, a woman of Samaria, water?" Said, "We don't have any dealings together. We've got an argument going for a long while. You Jews say that Jerusalem is a place where men ought to worship. You got to go down there. And we say that up in this mountain." He said, wait a minute. I'm not arguing about where you go. He said, "The time has come that you don't go to Jerusalem up the mountain either one. The time comes that you worship God in spirit and in truth." But she said, and he said, "If you drink this water," he said, "if you drink this water, will you thirst again?" And she said, "Of course I'll thirst again. I come every day to get water." Well, he said, if you knew who it was talking to you, if you knew who it was talking to you, you'd ask me for water, and I'd give you living water. And the water you drink here, that's it. You thirst again. But he that drinks the water that I'll give him will never thirst, but it will be in him a well of living, not natural, out of the bucket. It will be in him a well of living water springing up into everlasting life. What a statement for a man to make, that he's going to give water to that thirsty woman, and she'll never thirst again. And she said, "Why, you don't have anything to draw with, and the well is deep." But he said, "But if you drink that water, you'll thirst again. But if you knew who it was talking to you, you would take a stick and hit me." Oh, no, that's where Moses failed. He said, "You would speak to me and say to me, give me the water. If you knew who it was talking to you, you would ask me, and I'd give you. You would ask me, and I'd give you." God said, "Speak to him and say, give us water, and he'll give his water." Jesus said, "That's true. I am that rock, and if you'll speak to me and ask me for it, I'll give it to you." And there she said, "Lord, give me that water. Lord, give me that water." Now I wonder if he did. She was a woman of ill fame. She had five husbands, and the one she's living with is a common law wife. He wasn't married to her, and she wasn't married to him. And she did not come down early of a morning with the rest of them, is up in the day. She came by herself because of her reproach. She had no spiritual outlook. She was a woman of ill fame. She had already, a young woman, she already had five husbands, and the one she's living with wasn't her husband. And Jesus knew all about that. He said, "Go call your husband." He said, "I haven't got any." He said, "You sure told the truth." He said, "You sure don't have." He said, "The one you're living with now," said, "is not your husband." She went back to Sydney and said, "Come out here and tell us, see this guy that tells me everything I did. You didn't hit at it. You told me exactly." He told her life. But in spite of not only telling her life, he knew all about her life. But when he got through, he said, "Woman, you don't need another husband to run around with. You don't need a common law husband. What you need is a drink that this two-legged man will give you, for you didn't know it, but I am that rock that followed them, and if you would ask me, I'd give you not water, I'd give you living water." She said, "Lord, give me this water." The story tells that she dropped the water pots, and that's the first thing you do. Brother, let me tell you, her life took a new course from that very minute. She came down there to carry a big pot of water back with her, but she didn't carry no water at all from that well. She went back to that city with what intent? It said she dropped the water pots and she took off down for Sychar. The disciples had just arrived and the whole bunch of them was talking, and they had armloads of bologna and cheese and bread. And they were getting ready to have their picnic lunch. That's what the Bible says there. You eat and you go home. But she went down to the same counter where they cut the cheese off, where they gave the bread, where the bologna was cut. She went right down to the same city and brought back the whole city at the feet of Jesus. And there Christ ministered to them. And when he ministered to them, they invited him into their city. He stayed there with a three-day revival. And at the end of the third day, it says that Jesus was up there preaching, and the woman was right there by him. And they came up and said, "We believe you now, not only because of what you've said, but because of this woman right here." You see, they didn't have to say, "She's somewhere. She's was here, but she's gone now." No, she was right there. After 3 days, she is by his side. And they said, "Because of this woman that told us about you, we believe you now." First of all, her testimony put a curiosity in us. Brother, she felt first that she was not fit to go down to that well and to show her face, because the other virgins of the city came down. But there's something strange about the water that Christ gives you. It says the washing of water by the word. What does the water do? It separates the dirt from the material you're putting in. That's called washing. I don't care if you beat it, scrub it, massage it, or hammer on it, shake it, wrench it, or what. What you're doing is trying to separate the dirt from the material. And that's called washing. And it said, "I take my word by the washing of the water, and I separate you from your evil and from your faults and from your weaknesses." And I'm so glad that that is a water that we can drink every day. It's called the spiritual drink. The spiritual drink. Now let me just go just one step further before I close. You could close on that. That's good enough to just kind of meet every need you got. Now, Paul says there in Corinthians, he first told about how they back there, they eat of the spiritual meat and they drank of the spiritual drink. And then the next page over, in the next chapter, Paul said, "For we have all been made to drink." We, Christians, have not been not only been baptized into the body by the Holy Spirit, but we have all been made to drink unto one Spirit. We have all been made to drink. I'm wondering what happens when we're drinking. Let's go back just a few days. No, it's just a few days after this occasion. Jesus Christ came up to the feast. Now you've got to get the background of the feast before you appreciate this water business. Everybody that understands anything about the Jewish calendar or the feast of the Jews know that Pentecost was the greatest feast of all Jews. Everybody knows that. It started with Passover and ended at what they call the Great Day. Now, there was 50 days. 50 makes Pentecost. It's called the Feast of Pentecost. People would come from all over the world for the Feast of Pentecost. The word Pentecost is 50. Nothing less, no more. It's just 50. So, in the Bible, he called this a feast of seven with one great day on the end of it. That's what the Bible said. And God said, you shall count unto you 7 weeks, which is 49. Now, that is 49 days. 7 weeks. That's 49. It started with Passover. Jesus was crucified just as Passover arrived. That's what the book said. The Passover, Feast of Passover. In fact, Ben says they had gone in, taken the Passover, went right on out and crucified. The Passover drew near. They were beginning the 50th Pentecost. Now, every year while Christ was in his ministry, the 3 years he's in ministry, every year they had Pentecost. And Christ always came up to the feast when they had Pentecost because it was seven great things they remembered. The Feast of Harvest, the Feast of, you know, various things. And it was 7 times 7 is 49. But God said, on the last day, he told this to Moses, and they kept this very rigidly. On the last day after you have served your God, which is seven, God is seven, is God's number. You have served God with 7 weeks of the seven great feasts beginning with Passover. But when you come to the last day of that feast, then everybody must refrain from water and don't touch water to your lips until the next day and night comes on and you go a full 24 hours without one drop of water, and that last day comes in to make up the Pentecost, because up till now you've only got feasts of seven. But the great day of the feast, you see, there's none of these 7 weeks, each had 7 weeks. There's none of these days that would come near this last day, because God said the last day shall be called the great day of the feast. It is in memory of the rock that gave them water, and every winding up of every feast winded up with a Pentecost, and that last great final day that nobody drinks water all day, they're thinking, boy, I'm thirsty. I remember that rock back there. Moses smote it. And oh yes, how Moses didn't get in. Because he should have spoke to it. Moses should have spoke to the rock. Oh, but I remember, even though he failed God, and God let all of us know that he failed, because he said, Moses, they all love you, but when you don't go in, they're going to want to know why, and you're going to tell them, because I did not carry it out like he wanted to. I was supposed to have spoke to it, and he would have given me the water. And so they all knew that it was fresh. They brought it to their mind every year. God never let them forget it, because that whole day they were fasting water. They couldn't touch a drop of water. But read your Bible in John. It said Jesus did not go up to the feast. The brothers said, won't you go up to the feast? They're asking about you. He said, my time has not come. See you later. And it said, the great day of the feast. That great day of the feast. Now the feast is over. He hadn't showed up. He hadn't been anywhere. This is the feast that he went to before he was crucified. But now, that last day of the feast, after they've almost wound up, it's almost coming to the 24 hours. And now the sun is setting. At the sunset, the day ends. They're all thirsty. And at the end of the day, here come Christ in their midst. And when he came in their midst, he said, is anybody thirsty? Oh, when he came down and said, John, I'm Alpha and Omega. If anybody's thirsty, tell him to come and drink. He was still thinking of giving his water. But Jesus came into the feast where the Jews were. And all of them were thirsty. They didn't understand him. At this time, he had not been crucified. It was just before his crucifixion. The year before his crucifixion is when it really was. And here Jesus comes in and he says these words, if any man is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Now look, friend, he could have said 1,000 words, but there's only one would have got their attention. When you've gone 24 hours without a drop of water, you are going to listen to anybody that's talking about water that's got some for you. Now they knew that officially they could get water when the day was up. But here, who is this that's telling us if we're thirsty to come to him and drink? And what did he say? He said, if any man is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. And he that believeth on me, as the scripture said, out of his belly, he said to the woman at the well, it'll be in you a well of living water, springing up. He didn't leave that out. You know what the spring is? There is a pressure below that forces that water up out of the ground. And that's why that spring comes up, because there is a pressure that brings it to the surface. And Jesus said it will be in you a well of living water springing up into everlasting life. And here the Lord speaks to him again, and he says to them, he that believeth on me, as the scripture said, out of his belly will flow rivers of living water. Who's talking? Christ. Who's the rock he smote? Christ. What did Jesus say to the woman? If you knew who it was talking to you, you'd ask me. He said to them, if any man is thirsty, if you believe on me, if you'll come to me, you can drink, and out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. He did not say stomach is here and your belly is here. Every nerve in your whole body winds up, not one of them here. What little nerve you have in your stomach goes immediately to the headquarters. And right in your belly is the place where every nerve in your whole body, now I didn't just say this, any nerve doctor will tell you that is the God's truth. All your nerve systems function and operate from your belly. And Jesus said, out of your belly will flow not a river, but rivers of living water. Thus spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Christ was not yet glorified. Not only will he put you in the body, not only will he cause you to drink of that one spiritual drink, but when he comes in, he will constantly have a river of, not one river, but rivers of living water, and it flows up. What does it do? It takes the enemy of your soul and it washes it out. The washing of water. And where's the water coming from? It's coming from your belly. Christ said, it's the water that I give you. You don't get it out of a well. You get it out of asking Christ. It comes from your belly. Who is it for? If any man believe on me, the works that I do, and anyone that'll believe on me, out of his belly will flow rivers of living water. Thus spake he of the Spirit. And when the Spirit comes in, there is a continual flow. I needed the Holy Spirit today, but bless your little heart, there's going to be bumps, there's going to be things I'm going to encounter, and before tomorrow night, I am going to need the Holy Spirit flowing. I'm going to need the water. I'm going to need to drink of that spiritual drink. And Jesus says in Revelation, before he closes the door, he said, I'm Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. I will give unto him that is the thirst the water of life freely. And that means tonight, if you've gone a few hours without a drink, you may be suffering spiritually. How many believe one good drink of that water that God's talking about tonight in that book, how many believe it'll just satisfy and it'll wash out everything that's bothering you? Huh? Bow your head. Father, I've given the message you gave to me. There are those the Holy Spirit right now knows they need a fresh drink. And this water is real. It's not natural water, it's a spiritual water. It's a spiritual drink. And it flows. It doesn't come in spurts, it flows from our inner being. And Lord, there are things that are perplexing, and that's a problem to many that are here tonight. But all you have to do is to have them come forth and ask you to give them that water, and that water will start flowing. God, it will cleanse the mind. It will renew the mind. It will renew the soul. It will renew the spirit. It will give them strength. Not one river, rivers. Every need we have is met. I want everyone in the audience to stand with me, will you? If you say, Brother Everett, I got the Holy Ghost back there, that's it. That's as far from the truth as east is from the west. You receive the Holy Spirit, that's true. That's the water. But the drinking is a daily affair. A fountain that flows does not come on of a morning at 8 and go off at 8:30. There is never a cease of that water that springs up. And Christ said, I'll put it in you and it'll spring up. I find people backsliding all time because the water's been cut off. How do you get the water flowing? Oh, listen to me. Speak to him and ask him for water, and he'll give you his water. Jesus said, woman, if you just knew who it was, you'd ask me for water. She said, give it to me. He said, okay. He gave it to her. She was not the same. Why? Because he washed out her life that had been before he spoke to her. How many believe that same Christ is here right now? And how many believe that he sees your situation that can be taken care of by merely saying, Lord, give me that water? And you'll feel a flowing of that water. And what'll it do? It'll wash out everything Satan can put. Doubts, fears. I want you to do this. If you're here tonight and you'll say, Brother Hibbert, I've looked, listened closely to you. I don't need a drink tonight. I don't need a drink tonight. I would expect you to stay back and let God take a good look at you and say, look at me good, God. I don't need a drink. But if you're here tonight realizing that as Christians on our way to heaven, he said the last words in the Bible, I am the root and the offspring of David. I'm the bright and morning star. And he that hears say come, he that is athirst come, whosoever will let him come, take of the water of life. Take the water of life. What do we do tonight to take of it? Ask him for water and he'll give you water. I would have a person, I don't want you to see if anyone moves out. I want you to say, I'm going to move if everybody stays back. I want to come to the front and I want to come to that rock. And I want to come tonight because I need a spiritual drink and I want him to answer my prayer. I want you to come. Move out here. Come to the front. Hallelujah. If you believe I told the truth, if you believe God Almighty could stand in this pulpit and say he just told you the truth, I want you to act accordingly. I want you to act accordingly. I want you to drink in his presence and know that you're not smiting him. You're asking him for a drink. Oh, hallelujah. The word said after he puts us in the body, we do all drink unto that spiritual drink. Drink unto one spirit. And right now, while God's Spirit is moving, if you're here tonight and you've never become a Christian, the greatest time in all of your life to come to Jesus would be tonight and say, Lord, meet my need right now. How many is getting ready to take a drink? Huh? Is there a way in the world he could fail? Let me tell you something. There's not a way in the world he could fail. You know what God said to you? He said, you ask. You open your mouth and ask. Say, Lord, I want a drink. And you know what the drink will do? It will meet every problem. It'll wash out every obstacle. It'll break the power of the enemy. It will clear my mind. It will focus my eyes to see. It will energize me to work for you. Put your hand over your head and open your mouth and ask him to let you drink. Come on, come on, put it up. Believe tonight. Believe as you ask him. Speak to him and he will give his water. He will give his water. Speak to him in sincerity. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Just open your mouth and speak to him. Let him know that you love him. Let him know that he has the water. That when he gives you the water, you'll never thirst. It will satisfy the thirst. It'll satisfy the thirst. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. It's flowing. Oh, yes, it's flowing. God's turning the faucet, and the water's flowing. Raise your hand and believe it. That's right. Oh, just speak right out to him. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, that's it. Oh, we're to drink unto one spirit. A river, it flows from deep within. Go right ahead. There's a river. Oh, hallelujah. While they sing it, there's a river that flows from deep within. Oh, yes, thank God.
There is a river.
Jesus said it would be into a river. There is a river
that flows from deep.
From deep within. It flows from deep within. Let it flow. Oh, how Satan hates for it to flow. Oh, how the devil hates to see the water flow. But let it flow tonight. It flows from deep within. Oh, hallelujah, yes, Lord. Oh, hallelujah, yes, Lord. Amen.
Come
to the water.
The water.
Supply.
For there is,
oh, yes,
a vast supply.
There is a river.
There is a river.
And it never
and
shall
it
run
never
dry. It never
shall
run dry.
Run
it's not
dry
tonight. Oh, hallelujah. Well,
come to
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
I want every person in the building right now, as we raise our hand together, I want you to just, by faith, it said when you pray, believe that you receive it, and then you shall have it. God demands of you faith when you ask Him for anything. When you pray, believe that you receive it, and then you shall have it. You've asked God for that flow, for that fresh drink. He said, you speak to that rock, and He'll give you His water. He'll give the vilest sinner in the city, if he'll come and say, oh God, I'm thirsty. I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus said, he that believeth on me, see, out of his belly will flow rivers of living water. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly will flow rivers of living water. All you've got to do is believe the report. You hear the gospel, believe it, come up and put your hand up and say, Lord, give me the water. He said, I'm the rock. Just ask me. He said, woman, if you knew who it was, I know what you'd do. If you knew who it was, you'd just ask me for water and I'd give it to you. In spite of me knowing all about how many men you've had, and I know what all you've done by having those men. And not only that, I'm not through. I'm telling you all the other things. I'm pulling all the skeletons out of the closet. And I'm putting them out here and looking at you in the face, and I'm asking you to deny it. You know what she did? She went back and said, I want you to come and see a man that told me everything I ever did do. And she was a mean doer. She was a wicked doer. She was a filthy doer. And he told her all of it, piled it out there before her. She said, is that invitation you just give stand good? He grinned and he said, if you ask me, I'd give you water. She said, give it to me, master. He gave it to her. She was never the same. He gave it to her knowing all that was there. He told her all about it. You'll say, but brother, you don't know what I've done. I don't have to know what you've done. I'm here to tell you that, brother, I don't care what you've done. There is a river that'll flow and wash it out of the way. Let's everyone raise our hand and thank Him that it's been done. He doesn't want you to just ask Him to believe it's done. Lord, I thank you tonight. The thing is done. Wash it out. Wash it out. Let them get rid of it. The pressure leaves, Lord. Let them rise above it. Oh, thank you, Jesus, right now. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I want everybody here to start clapping your hands to the Lord. Give Him a hand.